Today I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is so important theme for today. And today's Torah chapter is very instructive, really instructive for us. It is about the life of trust, life of faith. But before we get into the lessons of this chapter from Torah, I want to talk about Sarah, after whom the chapter of the reading is named. We read in the Bible that Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Is it true? In some Bibles, it looks like some translations said that Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac to Jacob, and so on, is if man himself was capable of childbirth. Of course not. Every man can be thankful to the woman in his life who gave him birth and was with him in the challenges of his life. In the Bible, when the man was a man of God, the woman in his life typically was also a woman of God. A wife or a mother who contributed greatly to the spiritual life of the man as well. It is so important to remember. You remember that the name Abraham means the father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. The name of his wife Sarah means a woman of high rank and is often translated simply as princess. So Sarah is the princess of the nations. We think of Abraham as the father of faith, but I truly believe that without the support of his wife Sarah, it would have been very difficult, I would say impossible, for him to become Abraham. He would stay Abram forever. One of the most beautiful sentences in the New Testament are these words of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her daughters by doing what is good and not fearing intimidation. So, ladies, you have become her daughters by doing what is good and not fearing intimidations. So to all the women of this congregation, I must say a huge thank you for the wonderful example you set and for the constant support that you offer to the congregation and your families. Your ministry to the Lord and to congregation is special and very important. Please remember that. You are so precious and so important. Amen. Some guys said amen. Sisters are quiet. Yeah, you are important, really important. So, and now let us look at the one essential lesson from today's Torah readings. Let us open Genesis 24, and please be patient. We will read almost all chapter today. Come on. Genesis 24, verse 2 through verse 4, in the beginning. Then Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who managed everything that belonged to him, now put your hand under my thigh, so that I may make you take an oath by Adonai, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am dwelling. On the contrary, to my land and to my relatives you must go and get a wife for my son Isaac. What a picture here. So, after the servant went to find a wife for Isaac, he came to the place, to the special place, and prayed to God. And let us read from verse 12. So here's the prayer of this servant. Adonai, the God of Abraham, my master, he said, please make something happen before me today. I mean, there was no way for him to find a wife for Isaac. Can you imagine? what to do, how to find a wife for Isaac. There are no instructions there. Abraham didn't give him the book. Like, go there, do this and that, one step here, two step left, and you will find a wife. No, there was no instruction. He's supposed to trust the Lord completely. So he said, please make something, Lord, something. Sometimes we pray this way. I do sometimes. Lord, please make, do something. At least something. Please make something happen before me today and show loyalty to Abraham, my master. Look, Lord, look. I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are going out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please tip your jar so that I may drink, and she will say, drink, and I'll also water your camels. What a request. Can you imagine? I want to drink and let her water all my camels, 10 camels. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So by this I'll know that you have shown graciousness to my master. Verse 15, an amazing verse. Now, before he had finished speaking, behold, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, going out with her jar on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very good looking, a girl of marriageable age, and she was a virgin. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me sip a little water from your jar. So she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar onto her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll also draw water for your camels until they will finish drinking. So she quickly poured out her jug into the trough, ran back to the well and drew water for all his camels. While the man continued to pay close attention to her, keeping silent in order to know whether or not Adonai had made his way successful. So he couldn't believe what's going on right now in front of his eyes. Can you imagine? He just prayed about it, and now everything is unrolling, and he couldn't believe. The Lord is merciful. Verse 22, now after the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a nose ring of gold weighing a half shekel. Yeah, it was heavy. And two bracelets on her hands weighing 10 shekels of gold. And let us skip to verse 26. And at home you can read all the chapters of the Torah. When the man bowed down and worshipped Adonai, and he said, blessed be Adonai, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loyalty and his truth towards my master. As for me, Adonai has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. And the final verse, verse 57. So they said, so he told them about this story about Isaac. So they said, we'll call the young woman and let's ask her opinion. At least they ask her opinion. It's a good thing. Would you marry or not? Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. Such a story. Some biblical scholars believe that the story of Isaac and Rebekah's marriage is a prophetic reference to the Brit HaChadasha or New Testament. And I think it is a very interesting parallel here. It's a picture of Rebecca and Isaac's marriage. Isaac, who has inherited the blessing and his father's faith, is a type of Yeshua the Messiah. The servant of Abraham, who was sent to a foreign land to find the bride for Isaac, is an allegory of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful picture here. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to prepare the bride for Yeshua. And you know what? The Bible calls believers the bride of the Messiah, for whom he will soon come. And I believe really soon, really soon. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Revelation 19, 7. It is about who we are, or who are we in Yeshua. Revelation 19, 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So this is the main point of my message. His bride has made herself ready. Let's say together. His bride has made herself ready. When I read this place of scripture, I think about myself. That I need to make myself ready for him to come for me. We see the same beautiful picture here in the first chapter of Genesis. And you know that only the Holy Spirit leads people to the Lord, to faith in Yeshua. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit. So first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Actually, let us read verse 2. Genesis 1, 2. It is the creation of the world. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And look what's going on right now. Such a beautiful picture. Do you see lake there? It is not darkness anymore. It is not waste anymore. It is a beautiful, beautiful place to live. And especially in Florida. It's a beautiful place to live. Why? Because here we can find the answer. And the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering, or he took care of creation upon the surface of the water. So, the Spirit of God hovered. He took care. He created this earth. He shaped it. Without the Holy Spirit, the creation of the earth would be impossible. Just as it's impossible to give birth to God's community without the Holy Spirit. He is giving birth to us. He is he who brings people into the congregation. It is he who fills our hearts with his presence and the faith of God. And this is a very important part. Please remember that. Without the Holy Spirit, faith is senseless. Why? Because he is the person. And without community with the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to have faith, because faith, it is a relationship. It is living relationship. It is not just your beliefs in something, but it is your experience with the Lord. I like to read one important verse from the book of Acts. It is very important, the key verse for success of the first congregation. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. This is the verse. This verse reveals the reason for the success of the growth and also blessings on the first Messianic synagogue. Acts 9, 31. So, Messiah's community, so it is about us, but in the first century. So, Messiah's community throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had shalom first, had shalom, and was built up. Had shalom, let's say together, had shalom. Shalom, it is so important to have. We need to have shalom walking in the fear of the Lord. So fear of the Lord, the second thing. Shalom and fear of the Lord. And this is the beautiful part. And in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, it kept multiplying. Without shalom and the fear of God, there is no presence of the Holy Spirit. It is essential to have shalom and fear of God so the Holy Spirit can be present with us. What a wonderful picture. The word comfort in Greek means to comfort, also to instruct, and also to encourage. They created place for the presence of the Holy Spirit, so He was with them. One of the names of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is Parakletos. From Greek means comforter, advocate, intercessor. And remember John 14:16. I just want to read it very briefly. Yeshua said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. So in Greek, it means parakletos. I will give you another parakletos, comforter, advocate, intercessor, so He may be with you forever. So, the secret of the growth, success, and security of the first Messianic community was the presence of the Holy Spirit, because they walked in fear of the Lord and in peace, in shalom of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, a congregation of believers turns into a human structure built on the projects and human desires. And it can be successful, actually. It can be huge, but doesn't matter for the Lord. I believe the most important question we need to ask today is where the Holy Spirit leads us. What does He want to do in my life? What is His will for me today? This question was the most relevant for the believers of the first centuries, and it was relevant in the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They depended on the Lord, on everything. They were followers of the Lord. A similar question was asked by a servant of Abraham when he came to a foreign land for a bride for Isaac. He stood there and said, Lord, here I am. I don't know what to do. Please do something. Do something. Lord, I need you. Lead me, Lord. What is my next step? But sadly, some people have lost their shalom and are not walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I have a question, why are we surprised at what is happening in the world today? Why it is surprising when the same thing sometimes happens in the places of worship? People lost their fellowship with the Lord, relationship with the Lord. Bible calls us priests. So, Mazel Tov, you are a priest. You came here as a member of the synagogue. You can live here as a priest. Such a growth, such a success. Bible calls us the priests. Let us say together, priests. So believers are intercessors, those who lead the people to the Lord. This is our goal, our main task, who convey the vision and message from God to the rest of the people on the earth. This is our task. The main goal of our lives. Wow. Such a beautiful picture there. If you can see it through the windows. Yeah. Here we are. Fishermen. Do you see? Wait a minute. He will be very close very soon. For those who are online, we have fishermen who are on the boat in the lake right now. Such a beautiful picture. We like if this fisherman going through this life in our lives. So, therefore, when the lives of God's children who are called to serve and proclaim God's will are occupied with projects and the arrangement of the material side of life, it is no surprise why politicians and the rest of the world think only about humanism and how to erase God from the history. So, children of God, we're supposed to be children of God. We need to walk in the light of the Lord. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to change something around us. Therefore, in order for changes to come to the world around us, even to our small world, we have, every one of us, we have small world around us, neighbors, friends, family members. The Holy Spirit must be welcomed to take His rightful place in our lives, in the congregations, as the very presence of the Lord on the earth today. Amen. The first Messianic congregation was able to shake the world without any programs because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us remember the tremendous promise in the Bible. And I remember we prayed according to this place for more than a month recently. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through and 15. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. Here's the promise. So, first of all, verse 12, 13, something bad there, going wrong. And here's the Lord giving them a promise, giving us the promise. When my people, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. You know, I found something very interesting, that every one of us are sinful. Every one of us are sinful. No righteous man on this earth. I believe the man's ways are always sinful. The only God's ways, it's perfect. So, and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, even if they look good for them. And almost perfect, but they're not perfect in the eyes of the Lord. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Let us say in this place. This place today is the body of the Messiah, communities of believers throughout the face of the earth. So, it is so important to remember. We have this promise from the Lord. So, based on the story of Isaac and Rebekah, let's see how the bride of the Messiah should look like in order for him to receive her. So, let's look at Rebekah's example. And I know it is a high standard right now, but it's a good way to have standards in the scriptures. So, first of all, she was obedient to Abraham's servant, the Holy Spirit. She was ready to leave everything, her family, her plans for the future, and go to the unknown land, to the promised land of faith and trust in God. And please, consider that she didn't even have a picture of Isaac or even his Instagram. Can you imagine? It's impossible. At least Instagram must be there. But we need to remember that. There was also a fascinating example when the servant of Abraham presented beautiful gifts to Rebekah. The moment she accepted these gifts, she was ready to become Isaac's bride. I have a question. What do you think would have happened if Rebekah refused to accept the gift? She would not have become Isaac's bride. This brings me to the question, what can happen if somebody today refuses to accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit? It is impossible to follow the Lord. It's very difficult. First, we need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Then, be immersed, baptized into the Holy Spirit. And then, constantly filled with him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Such a great blessing for us. A promise for us. And do not get drunk of wine. Yes, especially when it's quarantine or something. Do not get drunk of wine. What to do? It is an answer. And do not get drunk of wine, for that is recklessness. Instead, be filled with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. I love this place. It is like comparison between wine, which made people drunk and like kind of happy for a period of moment, and the Holy Spirit, who also can get you drunk. Yes, it can be. And the happy, but not for small period of life, but for a long time. Thank you, Martha. Let's have a cup. He's here. Let's have a cup with the Holy Spirit together, yes? So today when we had Sudat HaMashiach, it's an awesome moment. It's a very special moment. I can't explain it, a spiritual moment. The Lord is here. So, be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And it is also necessary to trust the Holy Spirit and His guidance. Amen. So very briefly, let's look at the biblical meaning of the word believer. I know that sometimes we need to have basis of our discussion. Without this basis, we can't go forward. For most people, a believer is a follower of any kind of religious group, a church member, a parishioner, or a Christian, or a Jew belonging to some kind of religious. The Hebrew word for faith is emunah, which also means, it's one of the meaning, because it has many meanings, but one of the meaning of emunah also, it means complete trust. Let us say complete trust. In other words, in the biblical understanding of this word, a believer is one who entrusted his life in the hands of the Lord, accepted his calling and will in his life, and continues to live in obedience to God. This is why Abraham is called the father of all believers. He wasn't perfect. Don't understand me wrong. He wasn't perfect, but he was a follower of the Lord. This is why he was called the first believer, first Jew, and the father of believers. What a promise. He is an example to follow, and he is the answer to the question of who is a believer, the follower of the Messiah, a disciple of Yeshua, his servant. And you don't need to wait to be perfect to follow the Lord. Start following him now, and he will make you perfect. He'll make you perfect. So let's read an exciting story from the New Testament. Matthew 25. It is exciting for part of people. For part, it's not exciting, but it's exciting for us. Matthew 25, verse 1 through verse 13. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. What is your Bible says? Foolish. What does it mean in English, foolish? Is it a nice word? I remember when I was young, somebody called me foolish. And I wasn't happy. Later I was happy, but not then. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Oh, yeah, wise, it's a good word. For when the foolish ones took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise ones took oil in jars along with their lamps. And it's easy to come without oil, you know, it's easier. You just bring your lamp, you don't need to carry a jar with you. I mean, just go there, it's easy. Verse 5, now while the bridegroom was taken a long time, like today, 2,000 years already, they all got drowsy and started falling asleep. And you know what? I believe it is normal for every believer to get drowsy sometimes. Drowsy. So it's a normal state. We can get drowsy, then the Lord is working with us, and we're waking up, and we're just doing something, and sometimes it's happening with us. We can get drowsy. And started falling asleep. So wise did that, and foolish did the same. But in the middle of the night, there was a shout. I think it's wise. Look, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. Now the foolish ones said to the wise, of course. What can foolish to say? Give us some of your oil, since our lamps are going out. But the wise ones replied, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves. I found something interesting. You need to have your own oil. You can't borrow it from somebody. It's impossible. I know that some people we all like when somebody pray for us. It's always, I like to, I need it. But also I need to have my own oil. I need to have my own oil. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit also. My faith doesn't belong to somebody else. Nobody can transfer his faith into my life because it is my faith. It is the Holy Spirit. It is my relationship with him. It is my trust to him. Nobody can take this place, only the Holy Spirit. And I love this. Wise tell them, go, guys. Go, girls. Buy somewhere. Go. They were wise, really wise. But while they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Now later, the other virgins came, saying, Sir, open up for us. But he replied, Amen. And you know, Amen, this is the name of Yeshua, one of the names of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Done. Nothing can be changed right now. True. Amen. I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay alert, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The bridegroom is Yeshua the Messiah, who will come for his bride for us. It is about different kinds of believers, wise and not so wise. The five wise virgins are those who prepare themselves, stocked up with oil, the Holy Spirit, who build their relationship with the Holy Spirit who trusted him. And the five foolish are those who have wasted their lives on various concerns and did not care about their spiritual state. It's an important to remember. So let's look at the character of Rebecca. She was humble and hardworking. Rebecca was ready to serve even a stranger and give a drink to even the camels. Can you imagine camels? Imagine how much work this was, especially considering that the camel can drink up to 20 gallons of water. I think Rebecca was really strong. Can you imagine? Beautiful, but woo. 20 camels of water. I would not be able to do that. I would die there. I mean, maybe second camel, third camel, and would like lay down and drink with camels together. So, but 20 gallons of water for one camel. Yeah, it was a dream for her. In other words, she drew 200 gallons of water. Whew. She must be very strong. This is exactly what the living congregation of the Messiah should be, full of faith and diligence, ready to serve the Lord. Here's the very important lesson. James 2, verse 17. So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. The days are crafty and short. There is very little time left. And it will be very embarrassing to spend the rest of your life only in dreams and projects of the future without serving God today, now and today. It is very important to remember, please remember. Each of us is called to serve God with our strengths, talents, and gifts in such a community where all members serve God, the Holy Spirit at work. In such a community, the Holy Spirit is ready to work. In such a congregation, there is an atmosphere of expectation and of God's miracle because people are ready to work for the Lord. They're ready to serve Him. And as in the case of Abraham's servant, Rebekah's work was the answer for his prayer and caught his attention. So today, such a bride is attractive to the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow. Sometimes prayer is to do something. Yeah, it is your prayer. I want to bring up an example of our brothers who went to the Lord, Clad and Tom, to show their faithfulness to God. They were always ready to serve, to do more than was expected of them. They were the first when there was a need. And therefore, when they are not with us, we can feel their absence. Amen. We really miss Clad and Tom. They were so visible, even they were not visible, because they were always present. They were ready to serve. They were ready to serve. We miss them so much. But I also want to say that each of us will appear before God in due time, each of us. And what an honor and joy it will be to leave this earth having brought fruit to the Lord. And they brought fruit to the Lord, Clad and Tom. They came to the Lord with hands full of fruits to the Lord. And also, what a disappointment and shame to appear before God empty-handed with only dreams of tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I believe that those among us will say, as Rebecca said, I will water the camels. Maybe not 10 camels. Maybe one camel is enough. I mean, who knows? I'm not ready to hold the Torah scroll, especially in the beginning, you know. In left hand, you have all full scroll. So thank you, Steve, for doing that. You're a strong man. But you can do what you can do. Even small part is an important part for the Lord. It is an excellent time to examine your lamps and see what is going on in your heart. This is an excellent time, especially right now, what's going on around us. This is the time not to judge others, but to look inside of you. It's a great time. Have we lost our shalom? Have we grown tired? And are we walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit? And the last one, but very important. When Rebekah served and watered the camels, please, I would like to catch your attention here. She could not even imagine that these would be her camels. And everything loaded on them would belong to her. She had no idea about it. It would be easy for her. Okay, it's my camels. Yeah, I will do it. She had no idea. In other words, she did not work for a reward. And she was not vain. Vain. She did not want to reign and rule. This shows her deep humility and inner decency and purity. She was pure. The Holy Spirit seeks such a bride for Yeshua. Pure. People who are pure. People who are not looking for honor and prosperity and ready to work without reward for their master, the bridegroom. Luke 17:10. So you too, when you have done everything you are commanded, you are commanded. Guys, we are serving the Lord, not because we are such a great people and, you know, we are such committed and we're doing such a great honor to the Lord and He must be so happy with us doing Him. No, it is honor for us to serve Him because we are commanded to do such a job. This opposite thing. We are here because He is the Lord and we are His servants. So you too, when you have done everything you are commanded, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only what we were supposed to do. Such a great attitude. And the only right attitude in the scriptures. Some like to be visible. Others silently work and build the body of the Messiah silently. All will receive a reward. Some on earth will receive praise from people. Others will receive a praise in eternal life with the Lord. Dear friends, the Lord is close. Now is the time to prepare yourself. Fix your lamps. Find time to communicate with the Holy Spirit and serve Him. Revelation 22:17. And I promise you, this is the last place of the scriptures today. Revelation 22:17. It is the prayer of the Lord for you, about you. You are here, right here, in this verse. The Ruach and the bride say, so we are the bride, and here's the Ruach. We say, we pray, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes freely take the water of life. Come, come. This is the time. This is the time. So I would like to pray for us. I would like to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Yes. I would like to pray that we will be able to hear His voice. Yes. I mean, we are so busy, and specifically now, so many news out there. We need to find the time and space in our heads and our hearts to hear the voice of the Lord. It is our time. So let us just stay quiet for a moment, please, to pray. Lord, we come to You, Lord. And we know that You are here right now. We can feel Your presence from the beginning of this service, Lord. We can feel Your love, Your peace, Your shalom, Your joy. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You, Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be led by You. We want to follow You, Lord. We want to accomplish Your will in our lives, Lord. As a congregation, as a family, Lord, we want to be able to accomplish Your will in this world, in this earth, Lord. Lord, help us to do so. Lord, ask, forgive us, Lord, for everything we've done wrong, Lord. Please forgive us and cleanse us, Lord. Help us to follow You, Lord, in purity. Lord, I ask that You fill us, Lord, with Your presence and speak to us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. We are ready, Lord. Holy Spirit, be the leader of our lives. Lead us, Lord. We humble ourselves. We want to seek Your ways. We want to follow Your paths, Lord. We trust You, Lord. We trust with everything, Lord, and we love you, Lord. We thank you for this time, for this service. I thank you for this congregation, Lord. I thank you for your presence, Lord. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together, and I want to invite my wife, Ina, to join me. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Yivrecha Adonai v'ishmarecha, Yer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.